Bolts of lightning shoot from a dark sky full of clouds. A title appears, Can of Worms. In a backyard, a young man in a button-down white shirt grabs a side table from a patio and sets it in the grass next to an enormous satellite dish. He sets a metal box on the ground, then takes a laptop bag from around his shoulder and puts it on the table. He opens a lid on the metal box. The young man pulls open the door of a control panel attached to the satellite. With a flashlight in his mouth, he screws a thick cable into the metal box. He screws the other end into the side of the control panel. He hurries over to his laptop, which displays a blue screen with the word send on it. He puts on headphones with a microphone attached. He taps a button on the keyboard and lifts his gaze.
Fellow citizens of the galaxy, I do not belong on this planet. I am one of you. I am being held against my will. My potential to realize a happy and fulfilled life nullified by the ignorant and cruel indigenous population of Earth. You must save me. Take me away from this. Desperately in need of your assistance, Mike Pillsbury.
Mike's words appear on the screen as he speaks. His finger hovers over the return key. He taps the key. A rectangular white outline flashes around the word send. Mike looks on as the satellite dish slowly tilts up toward the sky. Electricity surges across the computer chips and wires in Mike's metal box. An electric charge surges along the thick cable and enters the control panel. The glowing current moves up the side of the satellite dish. Bolts of electricity shoot from a white light in the center of the dish. A beam of light shoots up into the stormy night sky. The view tightens on the flashing border around the word send.
Yes!
White light reflects off of Mike's face. He steps closer to the dish.
Yes! Just come and get me!
Lightning strikes the dish, throwing sparks. The beam vanishes and Mike hurries away. Words appear. 2 weeks earlier, in a treehouse in the same backyard, Mike talks to two boys.
The Hansels were a peaceful race. They were little pink people with long pointy ears, and they lived on a planet far beyond the Milky Way, a planet with two moons and a purple sun. There was no war, no hunger, nothing to be ticked off about. Until the day the Jung is attacked.
Text on the laptop reads, the story of the Hansels.
Thousands of spaceships bristling with force fields and weapons surrounded the planet. The Hansels looked up. They knew nothing would ever be the same. They knew most of them would be doomed.
Doomed?
Doomed.
What happened?
The Hansels were unprepared and quickly overrun. There was blind panic. The parents tried to save their children.
This is too sad.
It gets worse.
What happened? You can't stop now.
I don't know if you can take it, Jay. This is hard stuff.
Tell it anyway.
They say a person's life flashes before their eyes before the final moment. The father thought of his family. And then...
An illustration on the laptop shows a Hansel getting zapped.
Where to go? What to do? Only one thought screamed out in the mother's brain. Save the baby!
Yes, yes! Save the baby!
A scaly alien holds a weapon.
Oh, come on, Mike. Is she gonna die?
I told you it's gonna get bad.
You're giving the guy a mental breakdown.
I admit it, it's a good story, isn't it? He thinks so.
Oh, yeah, sure. What a judge. He thinks the back of a cereal box is like Shakespeare.
Shut up. Do they die, the Hansels? Did you kill them?
It's never that simple.
The mother puts her baby in a ship.
A space pod.
Yes, a space pod. If the baby was to live, it had to be sent away to a new home, a new planet.
Where does it land?
Here on Earth. The boy will be adopted and raised as an Earthling.
Mike grows serious and stares off.
But he'll never really feel at home.
Jay lifts his gaze and looks at Mike.
He'll never feel like he belongs. He'll never feel as though this is the place he was meant to spend his life.
I'll tell you something. You take this being weird thing entirely too seriously. Why don't you just accept the fact that you're a normal human being like everyone else?
All right.
Mike! Let's go! Mike! Come on. We gotta get the field by 4.
All right, one second, Dad.
Mike's dad gives his son a thumbs up and walks away.
Easy for him to say.
Well, he was on the team when he was a kid.
Yeah, and guys like Scott Schreiner probably ran him over then, just like they do to you now.
He says it's discipline, competitive spirit. He says it'll be good for my character.
On a muddy football field, Mike falls to the ground. A teammate lifts him up by his jersey.
Great defense work, Pillsbury. Tell me, is the idea that the oncoming tackle trips over you?
In the excitement, I missed that Schreiner. Did he?
No, you missed him. He got a first down.
Go. Oh.
Scott jogs off. Mike glances over at the cheerleaders. In slow motion, a smiling cheerleader with her brown hair in a ponytail waves pom-poms. Mouth agape, Mike stares at her. Scott jogs back over.
Come on! Oh, and get your mind off the cheerleaders, Pillsbury. For you, that's a lost cause.
The cheerleader spreads her arms. Mike continues to stare.
Let's go!
Scott drags Mike back to the game.
Calls it. Step back in the pocket.
Mike runs downfield.
Looking for his man.
Mike looks around anxiously. The opposing quarterback throws.
And it's a long toss down the center of the field. Heavy coverage.
The ball lands in Mike's hands.
And an interception by number 11. Mike Pillsbury. He's going to the 30.
Mike runs from a group of oncoming players. His dad cheers. He avoids a diving play.
He's doubling back. He's going the wrong way.
The fans sit down.
Mike Pillsbury, going the wrong way. Back.
This is bad.
Isn't he going the wrong way?
Pillsbury, stop. You idiot, you're running the wrong way.
Mike turns and sees an opponent running right at him. He bumps into Scott and falls.
He's down at the 10.
Come on, guys, let's get down there.
Mike's parents and sister climb down from the bleachers. An image of Mike lying on the ground stretches and distorts. Someone wearing a visored helmet floats through space. Mike stares with a furrowed brow.
What planet are you from?
The visor becomes clear, revealing a jaw. It reaches for Mike.
No! Don't let them get me! They want my brain! They want my brain!
The jong's hand glows. A coach shines a flashlight in Mike's eyes.
I think they already took it.
How's he doing? Is he going to be all right?
The coach nods.
Okay, let's go.
Scott shakes his head as he walks away. Mike's family approaches him.
Is he dead? Can I have a CD collection?
He's not dead. Are you, son? No, you're not. And you will learn from your mistakes.
Oh, we're awfully proud of you, Mike.
Well, that cannot be overemphasized, Mike. You'll never claim your varsity jacket by trying to score touchdowns for the other team.
Remember the three L's. Listen, look, learn. Huh? Good luck, son. We love you.
Mike wears a dazed expression. Now in the backyard.
Make a correction 27 degrees west, 35 degrees north.
The satellite dish tilts upward.
Mike? Mike, honey. Mike, can I get a little airtime here?
Oh, yeah, sure, Mom. Cancel correction.
The satellite shifts back down. Inside, his mother stands in front of a TV displaying a fuzzy image.
No, not yet.
She talks on the phone.
Okay, we've got a vector. Yeah, I see a picture. Now, has he seen the same image I am? Good. Well, okay, but before we pass him through, let's make sure we're on the same page with this, okay? Yeah.
Mike goes inside.
Yeah. No, it's nothing that subtitles won't solve.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah. Okay, we'll put him through. Hi, sweetie. Hello, here is Pamela. Gerhard, genießt du das Oktoberfest?
In the kitchen, Mike takes cereal in a bowl from a cabinet. He grabs milk from the fridge and sits at a table. His sister comes downstairs holding schoolwork.
How's your head?
You're inquiring about my welfare?
No, just the health of your head.
What do you want, Jill?
She drops her schoolwork on the table and sits.
I could have guessed.
Come on, I need to pass this computer class. What is a bioservice routine?
A bioservice routine is nothing more than an interrupt handler.
Jill wears a confused expression.
Basically, PCs are controlled by the use of interrupts. When an interrupt occurs, control of the computer is transferred to an interrupt handling subroutine process that's often stored in the system's ROM. Bioservice routine.
Are you sure?
Does a tesseract exist in four dimensions?
You are definitely from another planet.
In the bathroom, Mike's dad straightens his tie.
Fantastic.
He walks across the hall into a home office and taps a key on his computer.
Rise and shine, AT&T, and how are we today?
Square pixels fill the screen and create an image of a pink pig. Mike's dad's smile fades.
Mike! Mike, are you in there?
Huh?
I just went from stocks to stockyards. What gives?
Oh, sorry. I needed the extra RAM for a little programming project. I'm using this new graphics card that I tweaked a bit, and now it just eats up memory like a gulper eel.
Mike eyes the pig.
Ooh.
Son, you need more fresh air. I'm going to climb out from under the office, and you and I, we're going to practice some football moves, huh?
Dad,
Mike sits.
I don't know about football anymore. Maybe it's not for me.
Mike, I don't want to hear the word can't.
Did I say can't?
I have faith in you. No, you can do anything you put your mind to, including running downfield as a halfback, huh? Hopefully in the right direction.
Thanks, Dad. I know, but I just don't think it's...
No buts about it. Anything, Mike. That's the word for the day. Anything.
Okay. Anything.
Anything.
He pats Mike on the back.
So how about rounding up those farm animals and giving me back my stock market?
Sure.
Mike leaves. His dad gazes off with a pensive expression and rocks from side to side. In a school computer lab, a red-headed boy follows Scott as he sneaks up behind Mike. Scott whacks Mike on the back of the head with a mechanical pencil.
Amazing. A physical reaction. He's alive.
Scott walks away.
Scott Schreiner, big man on campus. Muscles, good-looking athlete, computer whiz. How perfect can a guy get? Oh, it's nauseating.
Too bad he's a perfect jerk.
Everybody, boots up.
Ms. Nickerson.
The brown-haired cheerleader hands her teacher a note and goes to sit down. Scott tries to push the red-headed boy out of the seat next to him.
There's a seat here for you if you want.
Do it. Oh, thanks.
She approaches Mike.
Someone sitting here?
No.
She sits next to him.
Open your textbooks to page 268, paragraph 5. Now, please.
Scott takes a floppy disk from his jacket pocket and slides it into his computer's disk drive. He twirls his finger and taps the keyboard. Mike's screen goes white. Blue text appears on it that reads, "I've got your brain, but I'll give it back." Mike slowly turns his head to Scott, who grins slightly. Mike taps his keyboard repeatedly and the screen returns to normal. Scott taps another key. On Mike's screen, an illustration of a full trash can appears above the words, "Don't let a good mind go to waste."
You're gonna let him get away with that?
Mike reaches into his pocket and pulls out a floppy disk of his own. Scott's grin vanishes.
Yes! Do it, Mike! Make him suffer!
Mike slides the disk into his drive and strikes a key.
You have mail.
At the front of the class, Miss Nickerson goes to her computer. An email appears on her screen. "I think of you day and night. Come see me. Your principal, Mr. Haynes. P.S. You can call me Doug." Her jaw drops as she adjusts her glasses. Mike's friend grins at him.
"Class, it appears that I have to attend to something in the office. If you'll excuse me."
She leaves. Mike's friend and the cheerleader smile at him.
Now for the coup de grace.
Mike and Scott lock eyes. Scott looks slightly nervous. Mike exhales and taps a key. Seen from behind, an animated pig appears on all of the student screens. The pig rolls around in a puddle of mud. Scott leans closer to his screen. The pig turns its head, revealing Scott's face on it. An animated pink snout covers his nose. Scott's eyes go wide. The cheerleader and Mike's friend laugh. The red-headed boy points to Scott's screen. Kids point and laugh at Scott. Mike's friend pats him on the back. Scott shakes his head. In the treehouse, Mike talks to his friend, NJ.
"That's cruel and wicked.
wicked as the Jongwer, they were not without friends. The Mantics, who resembled overgrown sewer rats, were their allies.
Rats? Ew.
On orders from the Jongs, the Mantics invaded. Not from the sky, but from the ground under our feet.
Whoa.
The intruders were unarmed except for the nasty mucus glands in their pointed snouts. They slimed us into submission.
That is so nasty.
With everything else you've stuffed in this place, you'd think you would have installed a stupid phone.
It's designed for privacy.
You've got a visitor. Caitlin somebody.
Yeah, right.
You wish, Mike.
Fine. Be that way. I don't care. She's waiting in your room.
Jill climbs down the treehouse ladder.
Man, your sister has a sick sense of humor.
Right, like Caitlin Sandman's gonna come to my house and wait in my room.
Yeah, and Scott Schreiber's on his way to ask for your advice on how to be a better football player.
But you're an interesting person. What if she really is there, waiting for a story?
A story.
Mike and his friend both stare off, then turn to each other. In fast motion, Mike hurries down the ladder and sprints toward his house. He starts to dart up the stairs, then slows down. He straightens his jacket, composes himself, and smiles.
Okay.
Mike continues upstairs and enters his room. His jaw drops as he spots Caitlin, the cheerleader, eyeing something on a shelf.
Hi. Hey! It's like Frankenstein's lab in here. Did you build all these?
It's kind of what I do in my spare time.
And you're not playing football?
I'm better at stuff when I'm on my own. The whole team thing kind of confuses me, I guess.
I noticed. What does this do?
This? It's a transmitter. Kind of. It takes digitalized data, right, through here, like anything from a computer. And it sends it out instantly, zap, right out into space to the farthest reaches of the universe beyond time and imagination.
Wow. How did you think of that?
Thinking of it's easy. Making it work seems to be a bit more complicated.
Sure looks like it'd work.
She smiles. Mike looks out the window and sees Jay and his friend spying on them with binoculars. He waves them off and mouths go away. His friend gives him a thumbs up.
So, why are you here?
Oh, the prank you pulled in Nickerson's class was brilliant. It got me thinking.
About what?
Well, I'm doing the decorations for the Halloween dance. I don't have a huge budget or anything, but I know if I just put up orange crepe paper, it'll be a dud. So I want something new, something high-tech, creative. You're the man to help me do it.
The man? I am me?
She smiles at him expectantly.
Wow. The man. Yeah, why not? Definitely. Absolutely.
So that means yes?
Yes.
In the school gym, Mike gestures and talks to Caitlin, who holds a clipboard. Kids play basketball around them. In a storage room, Mike and Caitlin push a cart past shelves covered in boxes and various objects. Dust flies up as Caitlin pulls a tarp off a shelf, revealing two traffic lights covered in cobwebs. Now the two of them chat as they push a cart with the traffic lights and other stage lights on it through the hall. Other students stare. In the storage area, Mike pushes a round rotating table while Caitlin stands on it posing dramatically. In the gym, Caitlin puts a witch's hat on a stuffed skeleton's head and turns to Mike. Mike takes the skeleton's hand and punches it in the face. Two smiling cheerleaders and another girl walk past a window with ghosts and jack-o'-lanterns painted on it. As they walk through orange, white, and black crepe paper, Mike and Caitlin, who stand on ladders, drop more streamers on their heads. Now, Mike uses pliers to adjust something on a lighting board. He puts the pliers in his mouth and steps over to a laptop. He taps the keys and a green monster pops up from a barrel. He types more and colorful lights on the round table turn on. The table rotates. A film reel on a projector spins. Holding her clipboard, Caitlin grins as she watches.
You're a genius.
It's gonna work.
We make such a great team.
Who'd have thought?
What do you mean? What's so surprising about it?
I don't know. You're, you know, Caitlin Sandman, head cheerleader and everything. And I'm just
Mike Pillsbury.
She presses her lips together.
You know, for being such a genius, you sure are an idiot.
Mike stops working and glances up at Caitlin, who smiles at him. He grins and turns back to his work.
So people say you tell great stories. When are you going to tell me one?
His jaw drops.
No. That's nothing. It's just stuff I tell my friend's little brother to pass the time.
Well, I've got some time now.
Caitlin takes a seat on a stool and pats the top of a stepladder next to her.
Okay.
Mike has a seat on top of the ladder.
Our spaceship was over a mile long and half that wide. It was built for a long journey. The adults always looked ahead for a safe voyage, and behind for the evil.
Scott struts in.
Shribner.
Been looking all over for you, Caitlin. A bunch of us are on our way out for something to eat. You want to come?
Yeah, sure. Let's take a break. Come on, you must be hungry.
Did I invite him? I don't think so.
Hey, who said I'd go with you anyway, Shribner? I'm busy, you know? I don't have time like you to stuff myself with some greasy hamburger. But you know what? Go ahead. Put on a few. Clog up your arteries. Graduate from halfback to fullback.
Shut up, Pillsbury. What are you doing with this guy? What is all this junk?
Hey, it's not junk, okay? And it's all under control without you. Hey, hey!
Caitlin gets between them.
Tell everyone I say hi. Okay?
Mike gazes at Caitlin. Scott huffs off.
Nothing like the dreaded Shribner to get your blood boiling, huh?
She turns to Mike, who stares at her, awestruck.
What?
Nothing. Nothing, just... Shribner, I would have thought you'd have gone... But you didn't.
A hint of a grin spreads across Caitlin's lips.
Forget it. I should probably stop speaking right now.
Oh, I agree. You should stop speaking.
She follows him over to the table with his lighting equipment on it. He looks up at her and they share a smile.
You know, strangely enough, I'm hungry.
You know, strangely enough, so am I. Let's go.
All right.
Mike shuts his laptop. A red sticker with big white letters on it reads, "Keep out." At night, two figures creep across wet pavement toward the school. They open a door and sneak inside. In the gym, a flashlight shines on a paper spider hanging from the ceiling, an alien with big red eyes and skeletons dangling from a tree's branches. Carrying flashlights, Scott and his red-headed friend inch through the gym. A monster mask with sharp teeth frightens Scott's friend.
Caitlin ropes Pillsbury into help on this stupid dance. All of a sudden, he's got a swelled head.
He approaches Mike's lighting board and equipment.
It's time to cut him down to size, if you ask me.
Scott opens Mike's laptop.
And I think I know how.
He spots a cable running from the laptop into the back of one of Mike's boards. He nods. At home, Mike uses a soldering iron to attach a wire to a strand of holiday lights.
Ooh, great tuxedo!
Thanks. I've seen it all. He's soldering his cummerbund.
Shut up.
Kids, please. You know, your mother and I realized something. In all the chaos of our day-to-day life, we never sent you to dance lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Dad, I don't think...
Now, this is a little something that I distributed to a chain of stations throughout the Canary Islands and for closed circuit on cruise ships. 10 easy lessons.
She sets a videotape down and dances with her husband. Jill rolls her eyes.
Oh, boy.
So, lights on a cummerbund.
You like it?
Pretty nifty.
Mike's dad dips his mom. At night, kids in costume gather by the doors to the gym.
Mike? Mike, where are you? Hey, guys.
Hey, Caitlin, I'm here.
Mike,
I'm here.
Hey, quick, we don't have much time.
All right.
Let's go.
They hurry inside.
It'll only take a minute to boot up.
Okay.
All right.
Mike stands by his laptop.
Mike, before all this begins,
I just want to say that I had so much fun doing this with you.
Me too.
So can you put this thing on autopilot so we have a chance to dance?
Actually, that's just a matter of 2 keystrokes.
Okay, hurry.
Hey.
Mike taps his computer and goes to his lighting board.
Testing, testing. Testing, testing, testing. Check, check.
Okay, turn the speaker on 6. Right. All right, that should be okay. Oh, CDs, right, okay.
Behind the lighting board, an additional cable has been attached to the one connected to the laptop. Our view follows the long cable to Scott and his friend hiding behind a curtain on a stage. A laptop illuminates their faces. Mike's display powers on.
We're ready. Everybody come on in.
Blue lights swirl around the gym. Kids in costumes file in. Mike turns on the flashing red lights on his cummerbund.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Ashby Annual Halloween Dance. A moment before we begin. Quiet. Quiet, please.
Scott and his friend peek from behind the curtain.
This production was brought to you by Mike Pillsbury, Starfield Intergalactic Communications and Entertainment Corporation. That's me, as well as the talented and inspirational Caitlin Sandman, who first came up with the idea that orange crepe paper just wouldn't make it.
He raises his hand, and in a flash, flowers appear in it. He hands them to Caitlin, who kisses him on the cheek. Behind the curtain, Scott narrows his eyes and exchanges a glance with his friend.
Let the games begin.
Mike taps a button and the lights on the round table turn on. The table begins to spin. Dressed as a pirate, Ms. Nickerson accompanies students onto the dance floor. The rotating table, decorated with foil fringe and jack-o'-lanterns, continues to spin. A view from the table shows kids dancing and socializing. Behind his equipment, Mike grins. The monster that frightened Scott's friend swings from a rope attached to the ceiling. A bat decoration flies over Miss Nickerson's head. Caitlin smiles as she nods to the music, then steps away from Mike. A view from the rotating table shows kids marveling over it. Caitlin dances with Mike's friend, who is dressed as a green alien. The monster swings down from the ceiling and its face fills the view. Scott and his friend peek out at the partying students.
Please push the button.
Scott lifts his finger and taps his keyboard. The table slows to a stop and the lights on it flicker. Confused students look around the gym. Caitlin hurries over to Mike.
Mike, what's happening?
I don't know what's wrong.
Scott taps his computer. The table begins to spin in the opposite direction. Mike hurries to his lighting board and frantically tries to stop the table. The lights on it flash as it spins faster. A boy lowers his mask and furrows his brow as the table starts to smoke.
I can't stop it!
The monster swings down from the ceiling and knocks 2 students over. Sparks shoot from Mike's equipment and the spinning table. The table catches fire. Scott and his friend watch and laugh. As Mike taps the laptop keys, equipment flies off the table and breaks on the floor. More sparks shoot from the table. Miss Nickerson hurries over with a hose. The monster in the barrel shoots into the air. Miss Nickerson douses the fire with foam from the hose.
No!
She accidentally sprays Mike, covering his tuxedo in foam. Caitlin tries to console him. Mike looks at the laughing students. Scott and his friends smile at each other as they watch. Mike slowly takes off his jacket. He grabs his laptop and bag and bolts out of the gym. Caitlin and Mike's friend watch him go. She turns away and puts a hand to her forehead. Scott and his friend high five. Now bolts of lightning shoot from a dark sky full of clouds. Mike runs into the yard. He grabs the table from the patio and sets it in the grass next to the satellite dish. He puts his transmitter on the ground, then sets his laptop on the table. He opens the transmitter's lid. Mike scrambles over to the satellite and drops the door of the control panel. With a flashlight in his mouth, he screws the thick cable into the transmitter. He screws the other end into the side of the control panel. Mike hurries over to his laptop, which displays a blue screen with the word send on it. He puts on his headphones. He taps a button on the keyboard and lifts his gaze.
Fellow citizens of the galaxy, I do not belong on this planet. I am one of you. I am being held against my will. My potential to realize a happy and fulfilled life nullified by the ignorant and cruel indigenous population of Earth. You must save me. Take me away from this. Desperately in need of your assistance. Mike Pillsbury.
Mike turns to his laptop. His finger hovers over the return key. He taps the key. A rectangular white outline flashes around the word send. Mike looks on as the satellite dish slowly tilts up toward the sky. Electricity surges across the computer chips and wires in the transmitter. An electric charge surges along the thick cable and enters the control panel. The glowing current moves up the side of the satellite. Bolts of electricity shoot from a white light in the center of the satellite dish. A beam of white light shoots up into the stormy night sky. The view tightens on the flashing border around the word send.
Yes.
White light reflects off of Mike's face. He steps closer to the satellite dish.
Yes. Just come and get me! Will someone just listen for once?
He lifts his arms to the sky. Lightning strikes the satellite dish. The beam vanishes and sparks fly from it. Mike runs. The satellite dish explodes. Mike falls forward onto the grass and debris flies into the air. Leaves blow past Mike's face as he glances back at the wreckage. Daytime. The family sits around the kitchen table having breakfast.
Okay, let's look at the positive. Insurance will cover the destroyed satellite dish.
Uh-huh.
You're still alive.
And none of the kids at the dance were hurt.
Right?
Right?
I just can't face anybody.
Oh, Mike, you're overreacting.
Excuse me? It's good that he suffers. This family is now reduced to a paltry choice of ordinary network programming.
That's true, but somehow I know we'll survive.
Mike, I want you to get right back up on that horse. Put on those pants, brush those teeth, go back to school.
That's it, hon.
Your varsity jacket awaits.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, the least you could do is help me with my homework. The speed of train A is 12 miles an hour slower than train B. Train A...
I've lost my will to solve. Sorry.
Mike gets up from the table and plods upstairs. Jill turns to her dad, who gives his wife a concerned look. Mike's mom stares off and rests her head on her hand. At school, a student on a ladder takes down a sign advertising the Halloween dance. Mike peeks out from behind the ladder. Keeping his gaze lowered, he walks down the hall. Kids stare and laugh. Standing by another boy in a letterman jacket, Scott smirks at Mike. Mike approaches Caitlin, standing with two other girls. He stops dead in his tracks.
What?
Nothing.
Wearing a conflicted expression, Caitlin watches as he sulks off before turning back to her two smiling friends. Now, Mike climbs up the treehouse ladder and steps through the bubble wrap curtain at the entrance. Alone in the treehouse, he sets down his backpack and takes off his jacket. He sits in a red beanbag chair, closes his eyes, and shakes his head. Suddenly, a bright glow illuminates his face. Mike looks up and sees the light pouring in through a skylight. Mike watches as the light gradually subsides. The table beside Mike trembles. A toy rocket ship resting on the table falls over. Mike puts a hand on the table and looks up. Standing perfectly still on the bed in front of him is a pointy-eared dog wearing a collar. A device attached to the collar has blue lips on it.
What the?
Mike sits up.
Hey.
He stands.
Where did you come from? How did you get in here, boy?
Please don't touch. My people are a superior race, and we abhor casual contact with primitives.
You talk?
Through my translating device, yes.
This is not happening. My mind has finally snapped.
I'm afraid you're quite sane and gifted with an abundant intelligence.
You do talk.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have been able to open the door.
Door?
The Stargate.
The dog waves his paw. A floating doghouse entrance with a white portal in its center floats next to Mike. Mike stares in awe. The doghouse swirls and vanishes.
Allow me to introduce myself. I am Barnabas from the star system Puppis.
Oh boy.
I represent a Galactarian organization. Disaster relief, rights violations, non-profit, of course.
I'm hallucinating. If you'll excuse me, I think I'll go lie down.
But that's impossible, Mike Pillsbury. We have to go.
Go where?
Off this planet.
Off this planet?
That was your intention, wasn't it? When you sent the message?
You got it.
Of course. And the longer we delay the departure, the more complex it all becomes.
Well, I really appreciate you coming all this way and all, but I don't believe you exist. I gotta go.
He climbs down the ladder. Barnabas stands behind him.
Mike Pillsbury, you were the one who pleaded that you were trapped on an oppressive planet.
How did you get down here?
Don't delay, Mike Pillsbury. Others from all over the galaxy are traveling through the gate to find you. They won't have your best interests at heart.
Excuse me.
He runs.
Please, trust no one but me. Be ready to leave the next time I see you.
I'm delirious.
In the bathroom.
Or maybe I'm just hungry.
Mike looks at his eyeball and tongue in the mirror. He feels his forehead. Mike leaves the bathroom. Later, he reads a book as he enters his room. He sits at his computer and sets down a plate with a burger, corn chips, and pickle spears on it. He bites into the burger. His computer starts to boot up. Mike takes another bite of his burger. Green slime oozes down from the ceiling and lands in a pile on his desk. More slime drips all over his food.
That stinks.
He notices his burger is covered in slime. Mike looks up at the source of the slime, a drain pipe floating above his desk. A disgusting green creature emerges from the pipe.
I'm dreaming.
It lands on his desk.
I'm not dreaming.
The creature's bulbous body is comprised of neon green sacks. Humanoid features make up its face, while it sports two spindly tentacles for arms.
Yes.
What are you?
I am the Bohm, your new best friend. You need my help, Mike Pillsbury, and I've come to handle your case.
Case? What case?
I can get you millions in galactic credits. You will be taken care of for life. Shall we go?
Mike stares at the Bohm with a furrowed brow. He glances up at the dripping pipe above them.
Excuse me. Hello?
Mike, it's Caitlin.
Caitlin? What a surprise. I thought you...
The Bohm reaches for Mike's burger.
What's up?
I wanted to apologize. We need to lighten up.
We're taking this too hard.
Yes, right. Gotta lighten up.
He devours the burger.
I'm so sorry. It seems we can't even talk to each other.
Morsels of food are visible in the Bohm's mouth.
But
what happened wasn't your fault.
He chews the mashed up food.
Disgusting.
Mike?
I'm here. Sorry, what were you saying?
I was saying that I haven't been very fair to you.
The Bohm begins to convulse.
You know, you're a great guy.
He settles down and closes his eyes.
Mike?
He lets out an enormous belch. Clouds of exhaust shoot from his body.
Stinks!
Caitlin lifts her eyebrows.
Stop it!
What?
No, it's not you.
Mike, you're not making this any easier.
Well,
It's a plumber.
The boom reaches for Mike's corn.
The bathroom's all backed up. It's
gross.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to say that I miss you.
And I hope there's some way we can be friends again. I think we have something going on.
The boom chomps viciously at the corn, covering it in slime.
Then the funnier it is to me, and the less I care.
The boom gnaws on the empty corn cob.
What do you say?
Oh, that's nauseating.
Mike, are you listening to me?
Sorry. Go on, Caitlin.
Well, I wanted to know if we could start over.
But I don't get the feeling that you're paying attention to me at all. Mm-hmm. What is happening over here?
The boom looks around nervously. Popcorn shoots out from a hole in his back. She hangs up.
You worked my phone call!
Ah, that was delicious. Do you have any more?
No!
Well, perhaps it'll make you feel better to know that I am what you earthlings call a lawyer.
What?
Perhaps it'll make you feel better to know you have an open and shut case against the Earth government.
What are you talking about?
Lawsuit, my dear boy. The intergalactic statute is black and white. No life form of superior intelligence shall be subject to exposure.
Mike reaches over.
Substandard.
Don't touch.
Environmental, psychological, or emotional life circumstance. In short, we can sue the pants off of planet Earth.
No, I don't want to sue anybody. See, I was upset and I had this idea that I called for help, but I never thought...
You never thought what?
I never thought you guys would really come.
Well, we did. And no one will offer you a better fee structure than myself.
Well, sorry, but... no.
You think you're sorry now? Wait till you hear from my lawyers! I'm suing you for wasting my time!
The bomb shoots back up into his pipe, which swirls and vanishes. Mike looks down at his slime-covered desk. He picks up the chewed-up corn cob and holds it between two fingers. He drops it. His friend enters.
Okay, what's the big surprise?
Hey, come on in.
Who barfed?
Oh, no, it's not barf. See, it's an emission.
Mike holds up a slime-covered workbook.
From whose nose?
Oh, no, he got my message. See, I had a visitor. He called himself a bone. He was an alien. Oh, and there's Barnabas. He looks like a dog, but he's not a dog. He's an alien, too. He had this, What? What?
You puked up your room, and now you gotta make up a story.
It's not a story. Come on, he was here. He used a Stargate.
Mike's friend blinks.
Oh. That's unoriginal.
Yeah, it looked just like a drain pipe. It's right out of there.
A drain pipe.
Yeah.
Mike's friend knits his brow.
Yeah.
He shakes his head.
Oh, no. I'm not lying. It's the truth. Come on, you gotta believe me.
You got me worried, man. It's gotten so bad that you can't tell the difference between real life and your own imagination.
No, Nick, come on, give me some slack. I wouldn't make this up. Come on, Nick, don't go.
Elsewhere.
Hey, I'll see you guys tomorrow, okay? And we'll make some plans for what to do next weekend. Thanks for helping.
Thanks for coming.
Mike approaches Caitlin and her friends outside a house.
I'll tell her. I won't forget.
Unnoticed, he watches as Caitlin's friends get into a car. He peeks from behind a tree.
Bye.
See you tomorrow.
She notices him. Mike lifts his brows as they lock eyes. Caitlin scowls and heads back upstairs to her house. Mike's face falls. He starts heading down the sidewalk.
Mike Pillsbury, I don't mean to nag, but we've really got to go.
I can't just take off on a spaceship for some distant planet. I freaked out at sleepaway camp. Sorry.
Mike walks past Barnabas. The alien dog watches for a moment, then trots down the sidewalk after him. Barnabas stops at the corner.
Mike Pillsbury, I don't understand you. But why are you walking off right when we need to talk? That doesn't make
He appears
sense.
Right in front of Mike.
You sent out a galactic-wide call for help without having thought it through.
I'm sorry. Kids feel desperate sometimes. Now I got some talking dog and some slime bucket alien lawyer. I don't even know how this happened.
What lawyer?
He said he was a Bohm.
Bohm? The Bohm was here already? Oh, I was afraid of this. Mike Pillsbury, you have opened up a can of worms.
Can of worms?
When you sent out your call, you also signaled to the universe that this planet has advanced to a certain technological level.
That's good.
That's bad. Because of what you've done, Earth no longer falls under the intergalactic protection for primitive life.
Oh, no. You don't understand. The whole thing was an accident. Lightning hit the dish. I don't even know how it really worked, okay?
But it did. And no one will believe that you had no control over it. I can see what your life has become. You're disgusted, fed up with people. I can take you to a place where you can be yourself. Be by yourself.
Mike stops walking and stares off in thought.
Maybe that's not such a bad idea. But first I have to tie up some loose ends. I'd like to say goodbye to someone, if you don't mind.
The girl? If you must. I'll return when you're ready.
Mike climbs over a railing and jumps back onto the sidewalk. Barnabas watches with his head cocked to the side as he runs across the street. Mike glances back at Barnabas and keeps running. Now, jogging up the steps to Caitlin's house, he spots her in her window.
Caitlin! Could I talk to you for a minute? Caitlin!
She slides open her window and pokes her head outside.
I tried calling you to make things right and you were rude.
No, that wasn't me.
Rude and disgusting.
I'm sorry, but...
I don't understand how you could come here. What could you possibly want?
Mike lowers his gaze, then looks up at her.
A second chance. Please?
Her expression softens.
I'll be down in a second, but Mike, this is your last chance.
Mike nods. She nods back at him and shuts the window. A pair of striped tendrils pops up behind Mike. Mike exhales. The tendrils follow him as he starts to walk up the front steps. They drop out of sight as Mike looks over his shoulder. He furrows his brow. The tendrils scurry off as Mike resumes climbing the stairs. Mike approaches the door. One tendril, which has an eye on the end of it, pokes out from behind a leafy plant growing on the side of the porch. The second eye stalk rises and peers at Mike. The eye stalks duck as he spins around, then peek from hiding as he turns to the door. Mike turns and spots the eye stalks. One of them shoots sparks at him. He falls on his stomach. A brightly colored alien wearing loafers approaches.
How do you do? I wonder if you could spare a few moments of your time. I have an interesting proposition for you.
I would like to be your agent and represent you for all media throughout the galaxy, Mike Pillsbury.
Mike? Hmm?
The alien shoots sparks at Caitlin, freezing her.
Hey!
Excuse me.
Let her go! What did you tell?
Don't worry, she'll be fine. We need to go somewhere more, private.
Mike and the alien teleport to a spot across the street behind a wall. Mike tries in vain to get up.
Let me go!
Not until you hear my proposition!
The alien blasts him and he flips over.
Sorry I had to do that. You know, I just love a captive audience. Going up!
He jumps on Mike's stomach.
So, the story is classic. A young boy, gifted with superior intelligence, but alone in life. Reaches out. He's carried to another world where he must start anew. An immigrant of galactic proportions. Your character will be a unique creature, carving out a new life on a world light years from his home. Will he return? Will he find love? Redemption? All stories must have redemption.
Stop it!
Huh?
All right. What do you want?
If we marry with the proper creative elements, I think your life has a good chance of being a springboard for a weekly series! There's no end to the episode!
What are you talking about?
Predicaments, twists, turns, fish out of water, boy away from home, and I love the emotional levels! Of course, it's not worth anything without emotion. It's gonna hit where it hurts. Mike, can
Will
we
you
talk?
Shut up!
That's what I like to see.
Feisty!
You'll need that for this business, kid. I happen to have papers, an option, you know, to protect my own time and energy.
Mike grabs the eye stalks.
Oh, not the eyes. Watch it. Oh, oh, ouch.
Messing everything up. Will you put me back on the porch?
Stop, Federal. Fictionalize.
The alien fires sparks at him and he freezes.
Well, if you feel that way about it.
The alien leaps into a floating television and vanishes. Mike and Caitlin unfreeze. Caitlin looks around.
Mike?
Across the street, Mike climbs over the wall.
Caitlin!
A school bus passes, blocking Mike. Caitlin throws up her hands.
Caitlin!
She goes back inside. Mike spins around in frustration. At night, the Pillsburys eat dinner.
Mike, honey, aren't you hungry? You haven't eaten a thing.
Mom, Dad, would you tell me if I were adopted?
Mike's parents stare at him.
Is everything all right? You look stressed out.
Well, would you?
You're not adopted.
Even if you were adopted, we would love you just as much.
If?
You're not adopted. He's not adopted.
You told me he's adopted.
Jill, stop it.
Sure you did. Admit it. The guy came from another planet and you took him in.
Jill.
Right away they took you to a plastic surgeon to get rid of your antennae.
She mimes cutting.
Jill, what do we say about empathy?
Okay.
Well, could I have been switched at the hospital?
Sure. It's entirely possible. In fact, the day you were born, the hospital was inundated with ugly babies.
Jill.
They couldn't tell one from another.
Jill, please.
He's gone through separation anxiety. The classic adolescent struggle to pull away from one's parents.
Mike, honey, why would you think you're switched to birth? I will be happy to show you your birth certificate.
And yes, you are a human being.
I wouldn't jump to conclusions.
She smirks. Daytime. Mike walks along a suburban street, gazing at the asphalt. Wearing a helmet, Nick approaches on his bike.
Hey, Mike. Mike, it's me, Nick.
Remember me?
Oh, hey. Sorry. You're a wreck.
Well, it's been hard to sleep with everything that's been going on.
What's been going on?
Aliens.
Oh, aliens.
Come on, I told you.
Have I ever told you about my Uncle Luther? He was convinced that a Martian took up residence in the tank of his toilet.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah, but if everyone else looked in the toilet tank and saw plumbing, what does that make Uncle Luther?
I'm not crazy.
You need a vacation.
Mike shakes his head. Nick follows him as he trudges toward his treehouse. The boys climb up the ladder.
Hang in there. Thanksgiving's not that far away.
By that time, it'll probably be light years.
Have you heard anything I've said about the value of reality?
A white light flashes. The Bohm and other aliens appear. One with spots on his face speaks.
Let's cut to the chase! You need a friend, Pillsbury. Tell you you're making a terrible mistake in leaving planet Earth. Because I'd like to give you the exclusive franchise to market the one, the only, Charmonica! What does it do, you may ask? You can slice with it. You can dice with it. You can grate any vegetable in the known universe. It
don't let him dice you up. The point is to dice someone else up. Make someone pay.
The show is just beginning. Look, we'll diversify into merchandising.
You'll be Earth's primary franchisee.
Silkscreen t-shirts. Your face on breakfast cereal boxes.
We'll start go out on a date? It would be lots of fun.
Must be contagious. I've lost my mind. Just like you.
We'd have a great time. Let's cruise Andromeda.
Your signature would ratify our agreement. Please sign, sign, sign.
And you'll be rich beyond your wildest dreams.
God, I can't believe this. I'm just one big opportunity for you.
Yeah. Well, isn't that more than what you have here on Earth?
Now, you said no one cares. I care.
There's no reason we can't include a clause calling for biannual audits to protect your interests.
We're not leaving until we get an answer.
Yeah. Just remember, coming with me would be a big blast.
Try to interfere with my client.
Your client?
My client.
The Pillsbury is my client.
Come on, don't listen to old Salinhead over there. His idea is clearly not for you.
I just can't wait to show Mikey the galaxies.
Nick and Mike climb out of the treehouse.
Barnabas, where are you?
Come on, Mike.
Nick heads toward the house. Mike stops and stares up at the treehouse. He turns and sprints toward the house. Nighttime. In his room, Mike packs a suitcase.
This is insane. You can't do this. Come on, at least wait until your parents get back. Come on, Mike, don't go through with this. Mike!
Downstairs.
The aliens are right. I have to face this. I was never meant to live here. At least in another world, I can make a new life.
Caitlin knocks. Nick opens the door, and she hands Mike his tuxedo jacket.
Think this is yours?
Thank you.
You drive me crazy. First you make more sense than anybody I've ever known in my life, and then you don't make any sense at all.
I'm sorry, I've had a lot on my mind, and... In a few minutes, I'll be leaving for another planet.
Oh, another planet. You are too much.
Look, there's a group of aliens in my backyard, and all I have to do is close a deal, and I'm off.
I wish I could tell you he was a lunatic, but...
What else could he be?
Caitlin. I'm sorry about the dance.
I'm sorry, too.
For a while, you gave me a feeling that no one else ever did.
What was that?
That I belonged here. Goodbye, Caitlin.
Mike steps away. Nick shakes his head and follows his friend. Caitlin shuts the front door behind her. Mike looks through the back door window. He takes a deep breath and steps into the yard.
Okay, guys, let's work it out. Who's it gonna be? Who's the lucky alien today?
A contract lands on the ground.
Have a look at that. I think you'll find it's very well thought out and covers all the points we discussed. That's a certificate of authorship. It's ironclad. Don't worry.
It'll be fun, Mikey. My parents would just die.
And don't forget, Mike Pillsbury, I can make you, and your sidekick there, household names throughout the known galaxies. And my fee, well, only a small 30% of your earnings.
Ignore this, right? Charlatan. Sign with me, and you'll be making the universe a better place. Bringing the joys of the one, the only, Jarmonica. To billions of beings.
I don't even know what a jarmonica is.
Why, it's your future, Mike Pillsbury.
You would be wise, young Pillsbury, to have me broker any deals you make with those two. Or anyone else. For your own protection, of course.
What are you saying?
I resent that.
What do you mean you resent that? How do you know you wear ugly shoes?
Oh, yeah?
Can't we all just get along?
Mike Pillsbury.
Idiots. Barnabas, where have you been?
A refugee disaster near Alpha Centauri. Very nasty.
A talking dog? Oh my gosh.
You must listen to me. You'll have to live with this decision for the rest of your life.
Caitlin joins them.
Mike? Caitlin? I wanted to make sure you're okay.
The three kids look on as light glows inside the treehouse. The alien who wanted to date Mike pops out. The aliens retreat into their respective teleporters and vanish.
Never mind.
What? What was that? Aliens?
From all over the galaxy.
Nick and Mike sit on the patio.
Uncle Luther was right. We should have listened.
Why did they run?
A thode. The worst worm is about to crawl out of the can you opened up, Mike Pillsbury. He'll find the choicest specimens and snatch them. And then he'll tell his friends. More and more thodes will come, and more specimens will be snatched.
That's always my fault. I can't stand it. I never thought the thing would work.
If the beam was truly a result of an accident and not superior intelligence, we could appeal the case, but then...
The light in the treehouse flashes.
I think we're out of time.
What do we do?
Leave, now!
They run to the house. Jay strolls through the yard.
Mike! What is this? It's great!
Jay!
This is so cool! I gotta see how you...
Jay, come down!
A long tongue grabs Jay and pulls him into the treehouse.
Oh, gosh!
Mike hurries up the ladder.
Jay!
In the treehouse, a glowing portal swirls and vanishes.
Jay! Jay!
The others join Mike.
He's gone through the gate! The food has him.
We've got to do something. Call the police.
Yeah, call the police.
Police? The Thode is back on his home planet now. It would take an army to catch him. He's completely safe as long as he never leaves his home world.
So we can't do anything?
This is just the start. See, I don't think he meant to take a little boy. He'll come back and take more and more until he finds the perfect specimen for his collection.
The perfect specimen?
Mike looks up at his friends. A hint of a smile crosses his lips.
I've got an idea.
What are you thinking of?
A plan.
In a bedroom, a flashlight shines on a dresser covered in trophies and mini goalie masks. A green hand with long fingers grips the flashlight. The light shines on Scott sleeping in his bed. The intruder places a hand over Scott's mouth. He awakens and sees a person in a pig mask standing over him.
Oh, you're a friender. It's me, Nick.
What? What do you want, dweeb? Mike sent me. He knows you sabotaged the program for the dance. He wants to call you out right now.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, man, he's waiting. Caitlin's with him.
This ought to be a real joke.
Barnabas stands alone in Mike's front yard. Nick and Scott approach.
So, send in the nerds.
I should prepare you, Scott Schreibner, for the task that lies ahead. You're about to see things that would be difficult for your small, earthly mind to comprehend.
Why?
Scott reaches out to touch Barnabas's translator.
Wait a minute. This is you, Pillsbury, isn't it? Trying to play some trick on me? Is somebody taping this?
We're not joking.
Scott, I see you met Barnabas. He's here to help us.
How do you do?
He looks like a dog, but he's not a dog.
Right.
We need your help.
I thought you were calling me out.
Oh, Nick didn't think you were dumb enough to fall for it, but I did.
Hey, watch it, Pillsbury.
Hey, can you two get past it? Grow up, huh?
All right. Well, what do you want?
You will help us get through the Stargate, leading to the Thode planet.
Where they have my little brother Jay. He was abducted by the Thode.
Thode?
Oh, it's an alien, kind of like an intergalactic poacher.
We need you to be the bait.
What?
Even if I did believe you, why would I do that?
Because you were born to be a hero.
Scott lifts his eyebrows.
Because we're on the same football team? And because we're on the same side, same school, same town, same planet. And because...
Scott, Caitlin, and Barnabas look to Mike.
Because I dare you.
Nick grins.
You're not scared, are you? No way. Let's go. Okay. Suppose I play along with this. What do I have to do exactly?
Just be yourself.
What does that mean?
Means just be perfect.
Scott grins and shrugs.
No sweat.
The five of them run to the backyard.
Abducted by aliens, sure you wish.
Scott stops in his tracks as he sees light pouring out of the treehouse.
Uh-oh. There's a plan, Scott, trust me. Come on.
Scott exhales. They head for the treehouse. Inside, the Thode's portal gate, which has two toad-like eyes on top of it, appears. Mike climbs up and steps through the bubble wrap curtain, followed by Scott. Scott regards the gate with a look of concern. Barnabas and Mike look over at Scott, who wears a frightened expression as he peers into the rippling gate. Nick and Caitlin gaze at the glowing gate as they join the others in the treehouse.
This doesn't look so friendly.
The Thode senses your presence, Scott. It senses your perfection.
You know, I'm not really all that perfect. I mean, compared to Pillsbury, maybe, but I've got a lot of faults. Really.
The tongue sticks to Scott and yanks him into the gate.
Now! Before it's too late!
The others race into the gate after Scott. The gate swirls and vanishes. Now, the view moves across a dark jungle past leafless, spindly tree branches. The gate appears and Barnabas and Mike fly out of it, followed by Nick and Caitlin.
Barnabas! What is this place?
The Thode calls it a zoo, but I believe you would call it a prison.
The three kids get to their feet and walk deeper into the misty jungle. Mike spots a skeleton of a T-Rex's head poking out of the trees. Mike looks over his shoulder.
Is it watching us?
I expect so. We better keep going.
Okay.
Barnabas hurries off. The three friends hasten after him. Daytime. In Mike's backyard, Scott lies on his back next to the treehouse with his eyes closed. He stirs and sits up.
Hey, Pillsbury. Big joke. I'm still here. Nothing's happened. I was right.
Try not to worry. Mike will get us out of here.
Out of where? Hey, why is it still light out?
Jay points to something. Scott's eyes briefly go wide as he stares across the backyard. Mike's house is nowhere to be found. Instead, a round porthole in the middle of a concrete wall sits on the other side of the yard. Scott runs over to the porthole. He looks through it at the dark jungle on the other side. He bangs on the thick glass with his fist.
Where am I?
In the jungle, water bubbles in a green pond. Barnabas leads Mike, Nick, and Caitlin along a path past trees, bramble, and an animal skeleton. The view drifts around a tree, revealing a dark, cavernous area. A murky pool of water sits next to a narrow ledge jutting out from a rocky wall. Pressing their bodies against the wall, Mike and Caitlin walk along the ledge past the water. Red eyes glow inside holes in the wall. Nick and Barnabas hurry after them. Mike spots a round stone pedestal with red crystals jutting from it. He approaches.
That appears to be some kind of master control for the cages.
Cages? Where's Scott?
He is the specimen the Thode needs. By now, I'm sure he's forever ensconced.
Ensconced? What does that mean in English?
Elsewhere in the jungle, the view moves past various animal skeletons. One has a turtle-like shell with spikes running down its back. The view continues to creep through the dark jungle. Elsewhere, Caitlin approaches a porthole with a glowing console in front of it. She looks through the porthole.
You guys, look!
The others hurry over and look into it with her. Inside, a jagged round rock floats above a blazing fire. Caitlin taps a button on the console. The rock's eyes and mouth appear.
The Zonars are natives of the solar system, Betelgeuse. Their organic chemistry is silicon-based.
The kids approach another porthole. Inside, a bald pink alien with long pointed ears peers back at them from behind downed tree branches. Mike stares in awe.
Oh my gosh, it's...
The Hansels are natives of the star system Pegasi. They are a gentle people with a long history of peaceful cooperation.
They're just like in your story, Mike. How did you know?
Mike puts a hand on the glass and stares slack-jawed at the Hansel.
I don't know. Scott. Gia. I bet they're in a cage just like this.
I'm afraid so.
We'll get you out, I promise. Okay? Come on, gotta go.
The Hansel watches them through the glass as they hurry away. Meanwhile...
I can't believe this. Transported to another planet? I had my worst nightmare. Stuck in Pillsbury's backyard forever. I don't know how to get out.
Try not to worry so much. Mike will find a way to get us out.
We're depending on Pillsbury. How did I get myself into this?
Scott sits on the ground. Jay crouches beside him.
Have you ever heard Mike's story of a planet where the people are called Hansels?
Let's try this way.
The kids follow Barnabas into a cavern filled with overgrowth. Caitlin sees the treehouse through a porthole.
Guys!
The boys race over.
Scott!
Jay! Scott! Jay!
Scott and Jay take no notice.
This is really creepy.
They can't hear us.
Well, at least Jay isn't alone, so he won't be so afraid.
We must act quickly.
We gotta break through this glass.
Maybe we don't need to break it. Maybe there's a way to open it instead.
Well, the Thode must have a key.
Very astute.
A man wearing a threadbare suit and a glowing red amulet around his neck grins.
My specimens need my care and protection. Security is all important.
You're the Thode?
I am indeed. You were expecting someone much more, intimidating? I assure you, our reputation is wholly undeserved. I only came to help the Pillsbury, as he requested.
No, you took Jay. He's only a little kid.
I did indeed, and I seem to be in possession of still another young human. Oh, but don't worry. They will be quite pampered. And their lifespans will be infinitely longer here than they would be on dangerous old Earth. After all, this is a sanctuary, not a prison.
They deserve to be back home with their own kind.
You, of all people, should talk, Pillsbury. At any rate, I'll soon have enough specimens to make sure that they will never be lonely.
You have no right.
I have all the rights I need. You gave them to me, Pillsbury. But enough talk. I want to thank you for becoming part of my collection.
Caitlin and Nick exchange a glance.
You will be my very first Poppian.
And you, miss.
Caitlin narrowly avoids the Thode's long tongue. The four of them run.
What's the plan, Mike? What's the plan?
One of us is gonna sit here. Now the plan is improvised.
Seen from behind, a hump grows on the Thode's back, tearing through his clothes. The back of his head is green and covered in spots. With Scott and Jay.
Baby Hands was adopted by Earth parents. He was smart. Really smart. But he never really felt like he belonged. He never really felt that he had any friends.
Kind of sounds like Mike made up about himself, doesn't it?
Yeah, kinda.
Scott nods to himself. In the jungle, the four friends approach two stone doors in a rocky wall.
Hurry up, guys, go!
They lift one of the doors and hurry inside. Mike and Barnabas hide behind a bush, and Caitlin and Nick hurry behind a giant rock. Mike peeks out through the bush's leaves. The Thode's long shadow appears in the doorway. Mike's eyes go wide as he sees the Thode. Caitlin and Nick duck for cover. Mike stares. The Thode now appears as a scaly green humanoid creature.
I know you're in here! Come out! Come out, Pillsbury!
Mike looks up and gapes. Caitlin and Nick follow his gaze. Caitlin nods to Mike, who steps from hiding.
Maybe we could discuss this.
The Thode leaps into the air and lands in front of Mike. Caitlin and Nick hurry around a corner.
Where are the others?
Actually, right behind you.
Nick releases a rope, dropping a metal cage on the Thode.
It won't hold him long!
The key!
Yes, yes, get the key!
Caitlin reaches through the bars and grabs the key.
Guys, I got the key!
The four of them hurry back through the Thode's prison. Mike stops in front of the Hansel's porthole.
Mike, what about Scott and Jay?
I've got to do this first.
He approaches the porthole.
There's got to be a place for this key.
Maybe the cage is open from the back.
Mike looks at the imprisoned Hansel and shrugs helplessly. The alien shuts its eyes and bows its head. Mike stares at it with a furrowed brow, then lowers his gaze and stares thoughtfully ahead. Caitlin and Nick glance at each other. The Hansel opens its eyes and lifts its head. It locks eyes with Mike, then smiles and nods.
Wait. I know how this works.
Mike lifts the glowing key. He moves it over the porthole in a zigzag motion. Everyone looks up as stone doors on the side of the porthole slide open. The Hansel steps out of its prison.
Go on. You're free.
The Hansel taps its chest, then holds its hand under Mike's chin. It hurries away.
Come on.
The Hansel disappears around a bend. The others race over to Scott and Jay's porthole.
Here it is.
Mike makes the same zigzag motion with the key. The door's open.
You guys okay?
Figure it out? Oh my god.
You okay?
Wait, Barnabas! How do we get back?
We must go back through the Thode gate.
The reunited friends race through the doors and out of the backyard prison. The Thoat busts out of his cage.
I think it's this way.
The friends race past the master control system with the red crystals. Mike walks back over to it.
Mike, why are you stopping? Come on!
The others hurry across the ledge by the murky water.
There's one more thing I have to do.
He waves the key over the crystals. The color drains from the crystals and the letters on the podium in an alien language glow blue. The others race for the Thoat's gate. Mike and Barnabas hurry past the murky water. Nighttime. In Mike's backyard, the Thoat's gate appears. Caitlin flies through the gate, followed by Scott. Nick and Jay tumble out behind them.
Where's Mike?
And Barnabas.
Mike and Barnabas sprint for the gate.
Wasn't he right behind us? What if something happened?
The two of them emerge from the gate. Mike tumbles across the grass.
Hey, are you okay? We did it. Everybody's okay, too. We got him.
Wait. Why isn't the Stargate disappearing?
Oh, no! You can't close a Stargate
if there's someone or something still traveling in it, right?
Too late, I'm afraid. Hell hath no fury like a Thoat scorned. I'd better contact the police. Come on.
What's wrong?
The line is busy. It's a dangerous universe. I'll keep trying. Mike, you stall him!
Stall him?
The Thoat flies out of the gate and touches down in front of them.
You freed my entire collection, and now you're going to pay!
We have to hold out until the intergalactic police arrive.
Mike's eyes light up. He steps forward.
Excuse me, Mr. Thoat, sir. Hey! You know what? You're a big creep running around scaring little kids. Well, I have news for you, sir. On this planet, we eat frog legs.
The Thoat swipes at Mike and lashes its tongue around his leg. It pulls him off his feet and yanks him toward the gate. Mike's friends try to pull him free. The Thoat steps backwards towards his gate.
Hold on, Mike!
Barnabas, help us!
Barnabas runs over to the Thoat. Suddenly, a white light glows. A metal gate with a door labeled Police appears. An alien with a red siren on its head steps out, weapon raised.
All right, Thoat, hold it right there. Come where I can see it.
The Thoat retracts its tongue and turns to the officer.
Just in time, officer.
I got hundreds of warrants against you, buddy. Come on. Move!
Is he okay?
I think so.
Mike's friends help him sit up.
Barnabas, I didn't know you could bark.
I didn't know either. Sometimes you have to act a little primitive if it will help a friend.
Thanks, Barnabas.
Don't mention it.
Don't move and put your appendages behind your back!
The cop cuffs the Thoat.
Don't say a word.
The boom sits nearby.
Did he read you your rights? Was he too rough? Not rough enough? Tell me things.
The officer blows a whistle.
All right, boys and girls, time for an explanation. And it better be good!
It will, officer. Of that I can assure you.
Barnabas scampers over to him.
Hey, Mike. We really do make a great team.
Caitlin grins at him. Scott puts his hands on Mike's shoulders.
Now, Mike.
The kids approach the police officer.
What do you care to tell me what happened here?
Daytime, at a football game, Mike sits alone on the bench. Barnabas lopes over to him.
Hey, Barnabas!
Ah,
hello, Mike. I just stopped by to let you know the Federation handed down its ruling. Your initial transmission has been deemed accidental. And Earth is classified again as a protected planet under Federation statutes.
That's a relief. I guess the world is saved.
And the Thode has been sentenced to serve 2 eons in a Federation penitentiary. His hostages have been returned to their home planets.
And the Hansel?
He's safe and grateful for all you did. All's well that ends well, as the saying goes.
I don't know what to say. Thank you for everything, Barnabas.
Well, there is one bit of unfinished business. You. It's not too late for you to come home with me.
To your planet?
I know you would be happy. So would I.
Mike stares off, then shakes his head slightly.
I don't think so, Barnabas. Earth is my home, and even though it doesn't always feel like it, I guess it's where I belong.
Many here who feel out of place point their heads down, but not you, Mike Pillsbury. You look to the stars. Remarkable. If you wish, you may scratch me behind the ears.
Barnabas puts his paws on Mike's leg, and Mike gently scratches him.
That was delightful. You know, Mike Pillsbury, you've shown me there's something to be said for the right kind of personal contact. I will attempt to convince my people. Farewell.
Goodbye, Barnabas. I'll never forget you.
Barnabas scampers off.
Barnabas! Barnabas! Sorry.
Mike hurries after him. He stops and watches the alien dog bound away. He smiles faintly.
Thanks.
Barnabas's doghouse-shaped gate appears, and he leaps into it. The gate vanishes. The coach approaches.
Let's get out there and play some football!
Give it everything you got! That's my boy!
I guess I am.
He runs back to the field. A view from overhead shows refs breaking up a pile of players. Mike lies on the ground at the bottom of the pile. Scott takes off his helmet and crouches next to Mike.
Pillsbury, why do you stay on the team?
Mike sits up.
You know what, believe it or not, Shrivener, it's where I belong. And you know what? I'm gonna prove it to you.
Let's dream on, Pillsbury. Dream on.
I will dream on, Shrivener. You bet I will.
Caitlin leads a cheer. Mike grins. Scott offers Mike his hand and helps him to his feet. He puts an arm around Mike and talks to him as he leads him back onto the field. The two boys join the huddle. They line up across from the other team and the game resumes. Fade to black. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Walt Disney Studios, voiced by KG Tang.